This morning we're in Acts chapter 5, and I've got to tell you, there's just something about being able to praise the Lord that just fills you with joy. When you're having a rough time, when you're having a bad day, and somebody just shares something with you, and you just spontaneously start to break out in praise, or when a praise song comes to mind, and you just start to sing it, joy just comes over you. I mean, that's why we like to come together to worship together. It's to experience that joy in worshiping this great, unchangeable, unshakable God. So this morning, I want to talk to you about that joy. I want to talk to you about where you find your joy. Now, this past week in Guatemala, there were some very different, incredible experiences that we had. We went out to this village that was just a few miles up from the main city, or actually it was a little bit down from the main city that we were in. But going through the mountains just a few miles took about 30 minutes. About 4 miles away, it took about 30 minutes to drive through these mountains. On the way, it was the most incredible, breathtaking view I've ever seen. And you were just struck by some things. When you go out to the village and you see how people live, and you visit them in their homes, and you find out that many of them don't even have enough to have a concrete floor. The nice houses had concrete all around, floor being concrete, whereas those that weren't quite as nice had mud for floors. Even the nicest ones, their back porch, I guess we would call it, which they used to kind of like the living room, still just a mud floor. Inside the house, there'd be chickens walking around. There'd be a big, Russell, what'd you call that where they put all the corn?
Corn crib.
A big corn crib. Now, I understand having that out in a barn or something like that, but that was in the main living room, the giant corn crib. Those of you who know anything about farming know what that is. I have no idea still. It's just a giant thing filled with corn.
Just a storage bin, that's all.
Big storage bin for corn cobs inside your house. And yet, the children that we met just filled with joy. Running around, smiles on their face. Now the adults, a lot of those adults, if they played poker, you would lose every time because you never saw any expression on their faces. But the ones that were excited about what we were doing because of the testimony of Jesus in their hearts, they had smiles from one end of their face to the other. And I've been thinking about this a lot. What makes us filled with joy? I don't mean just happy. Before I came to Christ, I knew what happy was. I didn't know what joy was. I thought it was the same thing. I'd have these people trying to tell me about joy, and I'd think, you know, that doesn't exist. In fact, here in Avondale, I had a person tell me not that long ago, well, I've never experienced joy. Never experienced. Whole life. 50-some-odd years old, never experienced joy. And I remember what that was like before I came to Christ at 25 years old. I remember what it was like to wonder if joy really existed, to wonder if true love really existed. I remember very vividly, very clearly one night on a New Year's Eve being at a bunch of crazy bars, drunk as can be, talking to every single person I could meet, asking them if they believed in true love. Because I didn't think it existed. How can you know true love exists? That's just in the movies. That kind of feeling, I think it's fake. I used to tell people, everybody that tells me about this love or joy or something, I think they're just faking it. Because the truth is we're all miserable, is the way I thought. But then I came to know the person of Jesus Christ. I came to realize what it meant to really surrender my life to Him. Lay down my pride, lay down my ideas and my thoughts and my ways, and place all my trust and hope in Him. And this floodgate of joy and love and peace, gentleness, kindness, just poured out into me. And honestly, to this day, 20 years later, I don't understand what it means to not know what joy is. I don't understand why I didn't know what love is. Oh, I understand it very well, but I can't go back there. I can't even listen to blues music anymore. That's how much Christ has just wrecked me. I used to listen days and days of blues, just all the time. It was the best thing to get drunk and listen to the blues music and just want to give up. That was the highlight of my week. And now I hear a blues song and go, yeah, oh, yeah. No, it doesn't do anything for me. Honestly, the whole country music thing, what is that song, Undertaker song or whatever? Get me two caskets, dig two. Tell the grave digger to dig. I just can't relate to it. I'm sorry, I can't relate to that anymore. Don't understand why you're so focused on death and despair, because I've got joy. Joy. Down in my soul. We taught the kids in Hanlai. I said it right this time. We taught the kids in Hanlai, or I should say our VBS team did, in Spanish, I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. I can't tell you what those words were. What was that?
Donde.
Yeah, donde. What? Yo tengo gozo, 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 gozo. En mi corazón. Donde? En mi corazón. So I kind of got the hang of it. Went to visit one of the art, by the way, next week we'll get to tell you and show you the pictures of the children that this church have been supporting. And the church actually has sponsored an individual child and her family. And again, the money that's pooled from these sponsorships go to help the entire village. We'll talk more about that next week. But Katarina is our church child. Angie, she is every bit as beautiful as her picture. And I got to go with a few of us from our church to Katarina's house. And she had been to Vacation Bible School the day before. And so she sang that song for her mother. She had learned it and knew what it was talking about. What is it about joy? Why don't people understand this? It's found only in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he's not a person like any other that has ever existed, because he has always existed. He was not a created being like that, but fully God. In the beginning, he was with God and was God. And all things were created through him. And he came to earth as a man and gave up his divinity in some form or fashion. Who has any idea? We don't know. If they tell you they do know, they're lying. They have no idea. But he was fully man and fully God walking this earth and led a sinless, perfect life so he could be our sacrifice. And in him, we find our peace with God and are given his Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit somehow take up residence in our lives when we surrender to him. And then the joy and the peace and all of the character of God descends upon us. And when somebody says, I don't think joy exists, we just smile and say, well, let me tell you about who joy is. Not what it is, but who he is. Because he can bring joy to your life too. Well, how do I know it's not just some crazy trip that I've been on these last 20 years and that somehow 20 years ago my mind just warped and I'm just living out some mental institution dream of happiness? How do I know it's real? Because I can base it on the Word of God. And I can show you testimony after testimony of God's people, how they experience the same thing. And when my experience matches up with theirs, I say, Lord, you are so awesome. You showed me that I'm not nuts. That this happiness, this joy in my soul is real, because it's the same that they had. We've got a listening guide this morning. Probably should have passed it out while I'm
doing my monologue. But if I could get guys here to pass this listening guide out for me.
I'd like to talk to you about this joy that we find in Christ, finding joy in Jesus. And I just want to plead with you this morning, if you are here this morning and you don't know joy, find Jesus. Please. Don't let another day go on. Don't think that your joy and your happiness and your contentment are all about the things you possess, because I, this week, met people who had literally nothing. By the way, you can ask the rest of the team if they have this view or not, but I believe that the worst situation of homelessness in the United States is still better than so many of the folks we saw in Guatemala. Still a better situation, because people will stop and give that person money. There's agencies they can go to. There's shelters they can find. But when we would walk past at 11 a.m., a drunk person passed out in the middle of the street in Nabach, Guatemala, that was one of the saddest things I've ever seen, because they don't have the support net around them. But is the possession of things where we should find our joy then, so that we're not in that situation, or is there something deeper to joy? I submit to you that it's only found in the person of Christ Jesus. Please stand with me as we honor God in the reading of His Word. Just three verses we're going to read together. Lots of verses that we'll cover, but just three verses that we'll read together here. And to give you some context for what's happening here, Peter and John, the disciples, the apostles of Jesus, have been out preaching the word, telling people about Jesus Christ Himself, and the Jewish authorities of the time were very upset about this, and they dragged Peter and John, first of all, to jail, and then brought them out to court. The jail didn't seem to be able to hold them because an angel would just release them so they could go preach some more. And so they got dragged before this court, and the court's telling them, do not preach in this name anymore. And we pick up after they had been taken away, and the Sanhedrin, this Jewish council, was about to condemn them to death, and one spoke up and said, no, if this is from God, you can't do anything about it. If it's from man, it'll die off. And that's where we pick up in verse 40 of chapter 5 of the book of Acts. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and they had them flogged. Who knows what flogging is? Beaten with whips. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. They'd just been beaten. They'd just been threatened. They'd just been told, you do this again, it won't go well for you. And they go out rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Will you pray with me? Lord, I pray this morning that we would be so convinced that you are that great and mighty Savior that had been waited for thousands of years and that has been, Lord, our Savior and Lord for the last 2,000 years and will be for the millennia and eternity to come. Pray we'd be so convinced of that, that we would never stop proclaiming your name, never stop teaching your name, never stop sharing the joy that you've given to us, that it would overflow from our lives. And I pray if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know that joy, Lord, please reveal yourself to them. Open their eyes so they can see. Clear their minds so they can understand. Lord, and speak to their heart.
so they can be saved. We give you, Lord, this day and this time in your precious name. Amen. Will you be seated?
I want to share with you about this joy that we can find in Jesus. First of all, this is a joy that cannot be destroyed. This joy that is in Jesus cannot be destroyed. Now, many times you might have a certain amount of happiness because you've heard some good news and you've had a great day. I don't know how often you have one of those days that you just feel on top of the world and you get home and you say, "Woo, nothing is going to change my day because this is an awesome day. Did you see the sun shining outside? Everything's going well." And then you get some news. And then you run into that person. And then you find out about that thing. And it seems that all that happiness is just destroyed, beaten down into the earth, and buried somewhere that you'll never be able to find it again. Isn't it amazing how we can go from the highest heights of happiness to the lowest lows of despair with one word sometimes? But you see, the amazing thing about true joy in Christ is it can never be destroyed. It can't be destroyed. It can't be put away. It can't be buried. The disapproval of others won't shake it. I'm so happy, Mom. I'm so happy, Dad. I think God is leading me to be a missionary. I'm happy about that. Well, we'll have to talk about that, son. You see, transient happiness, all of a sudden you're in despair. Mom and Dad are upset with you. True joy? Now one day Jesus will do this in me. Happiness, I come home, I tell my spouse all about this great thing, but she's having a lousy day, and she says one word, and it's gone. But the joy I have in Christ, she can't take. By the way, my wife doesn't try to take my joy. Go home, and everybody say, "Pastor's marriage is in trouble. His wife's trying to steal his joy." No. But you see, joy in Christ, it doesn't matter what somebody says, no matter how much they disapprove of your life in Christ, they can't do anything about it. They can't stamp it out. I used to be one of those that tried. When my wife and I were dating, I wasn't a believer. By the way, don't try that. You haven't been given any assurance that it'll work. But she'd come to me all happy about something, and I would go out of my way to try to pound it out of her. I didn't know joy. I didn't want anybody else telling me there was anything like it. But I could never pound it out of her. Could never take it away from her. Look what happened with these apostles here. In chapter 4, let me read to you what's going on here. The Sanhedrin had called them to stand in this court a couple times, and at this point, they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Ooh. Discouraging. Tell me to shut up. I can't teach about Jesus anymore. I've got people who are just looking down on me. I'm worried, right? I feel this pressure. I want everybody to like me, and yet they are telling me, "Don't you dare do this anymore." So I give up. I just walk away. No, not what Peter and John did. Not what the apostles did. Instead, this blows my mind. They look straight at the Sanhedrin, at these religious judges who can have them stoned to death for blasphemy. It's in their right to do it. And they look at these men and they say, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Folks, that's true joy. Go ahead, try to shut me up. I'm sorry, I can't. I just can't do it. I know you're going to kill me. But Jesus got a better place for me anyway. Because you see, I know him. And I know that he said he has prepared a place for me. And I know that he said in this life there will be much suffering. But take note, I've overcome this world. And I can handle it. Because there's just something about Jesus that's worth everything I have. Joy that cannot be destroyed by the disapproval of others. That cannot be destroyed by threats. See, it says not by threats. We see more about this in chapter 5 and verses 27 through 32. And we find out here that the apostles are brought again to the court. I start in verse 25, someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. And then in verse 27, having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Now at this point, the apostles have got to know they're in trouble. At this point, the apostles got to know that threats are coming their way, that if they keep doing this, they're either going to have their head suspended from their body, or they're going to have stones rain down on their head. One way or another, they're going to be put to death. So these threats are getting very real. These are the same apostles who really ticked the Sanhedrin off just a little bit ago by saying, oh, we're not going to obey you, we're going to obey God instead. So they know they're in hot water. So, what happens? Well, it says, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. And then he just lays it on and says, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed. Folks, let me ask you something. If you're brought into trial and they're about to hang you, do you think it helps your cause if you accuse the ones about to hang you of doing something wrong? Do you think it helps your cause? Now, I have to tell you, Peter and the apostles, they didn't have a death wish. They just couldn't shut up. The joy that they had found in their Savior, it didn't matter how much you threatened them. They were not going to shut up. And we know that the 12 disciples all died martyrs' deaths, most of them very extreme. I should say the 12 apostles. Now, you can't get rid of joy and destroy it by threats. You can't even do it by pain and suffering. We find in verses 40 and 41, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. This is a very painful and very effective way to treat a prisoner. Had them flogged. Most people after a flogging could barely stand up. Most people after a flogging, it would take them the longest time to heal. And yet, what happens here? They were ordered not to speak in the name of Jesus. They were let go, and the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering. Disgrace for the name. I can just imagine Peter and John and all the apostles coming in and just singing praises to God as the pain of the open wounds on their back would have been so raw and sore. And yet they're thanking God for the privilege of knowing him and being able to stand for him and being able to withstand anything the enemy can throw at them. True joy that comes with knowing Christ, no threat can get rid of it, not even pain and suffering can get rid of it. I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony of those who have died in prisons, of those who have had their, we won't go into it, all sorts of torture because they wouldn't shut up about Jesus and they lived in a country that didn't want to know about Jesus.
And yet they still praised Jesus with joy in their hearts for the salvation that they knew. That's what Christ is. Our Savior from sin and our Savior from despair, bringing true joy and hope into our lives.
Nothing will take it away. In James chapter 1, we hear, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking for nothing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we hear the Apostle Paul talk about the Thessalonian church, and he tells them, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcome the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Didn't matter that you were persecuted. Didn't matter that you were suffering. You had joy because of Christ in your life. This is a joy that is complete. This is a joy that is complete and overflows to others. A joy that is complete and overflows to others. In this verse 42 of Acts 5, it goes on to say, after they had come out praising and rejoicing, it says, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. A joy that is complete. It's not a partial thing. It's down in their soul to the point that day after day, day after day, day after day, in spite of threats, in spite of torture and pain, day after day, they meet with everybody and share this Christ that they know. I've run into people that never tell anybody about Jesus. They claim him to be their Lord and Savior, but they never open their mouth to tell others. And all I can tell you is there's nothing in the Bible that would suggest you can get away with that. There's nothing in Scripture that suggests that you can actually know this Savior and not want to talk about him. Because the joy that fills you is so complete, you have to let it out. It overflows from your life. You know, if you overstuff your suitcase, I found this week, it bulges at the seams and will pop sometimes. I didn't find that out this week. Will pop the zipper and overflow out of the suitcase. Whatever you fill to the brim completely will start to spill over. If you fill a cup of water and don't turn off the faucet, the water overflows to the side of the cup. It is just a law of nature that you can only put so much into something before it starts to come out. God puts infinite joy and peace into your heart. Your heart cannot contain it. It will overflow from your life. And if it doesn't overflow from your life, seriously pray, because you may never have received any of it. Joy like this is complete. In 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Talking about Jesus. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Doesn't that sound like a full, complete joy? Inexpressible. I can't even put it to words. I just have this bubbling over. Inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The Apostle John records Jesus saying, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And that will overflow. In 1 Thessalonians, the passage I read to you earlier, Verse 6, it says, you have become imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcome the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers, to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has been known everywhere. Folks, when we truly get who Christ is, and His joy fills us to the brim and overflowing, all of Avondale will just know. We won't have to make a big, organized reach out to the neighborhood. We won't have to organize parties to go door-to-door witnessing, because the people will go, you know, those people at that church, there's something about them. It's kind of bizarre, kind of weird, but I kind of like it because they're just joy-filled people. The messages rang out all over the region because of the joy these people had found in spite of severe pain and sufferings. And what is this joy that we speak of? It's Christ. When the angel comes and frees Peter and John from prison, you know what the angel tells them to do? In Acts chapter 5, verse 20, the angel tells them, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life. You didn't have to give them specifics. Go tell them about Jesus. Just tell them about your life. Tell them about what Christ has done in you. That is this joy that you speak of. Go share it. Complete joy. Gotta tell others about it. And the great thing about it is it opens our eyes to more joy. It never seems to stop. The more I honor that intimacy with Christ that I've been given and allowed to have, the more I see how I can have even more joy in Christ. And the more I want and the more joy I find, and it continues over and over, it is good news. Good news about Jesus Christ, because joy is the person of Jesus. In Matthew 13, Jesus told us about the kingdom of heaven, about what it would be like to know Him, about what salvation is like. And He said this, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had so that he could buy that field. When I find joy in Christ, I'm open to more joy. I want to give up whatever stands in the way of it, whatever sin is entangling me, whatever material things are bothering that joy that I have, because all I want to do is know more of the joy. And then I tell people about that joy. Seen any good movies lately? Told anybody about them after you saw it? You can't stop. You can't stop talking about what fills you with happiness and what fills you with joy. Let me tell you about my Savior. Oh, I didn't see a movie this week, but I had the greatest experience. I was in prayer and God spoke. And I was stunned. God, why would you spend time on me? When we were driving from the main city out to the village, they had a van and a pickup truck. And we had 17 of us, plus FH people, between one and three of them. So we had between 17 and 20 people going out there each day. And the van could only hold a certain number, so some had to stand in the pickup truck. And the first day I was in the van with the rest, and we watched some of our teenagers and young adults in the pickup truck having a blast. And one of the people in the van said something to the effect of, that must be kind of scary. I don't think that would be very fun. And I looked at that person and said, are you kidding me? I can't wait. I'm not going to be in this van anymore because that looks like a blast. And the whole rest of the time until my knees were about to give out, I made sure to get in the back of that truck, and I can tell you, standing in the back of that, by the way, there was a roll bar to hold on to. Standing in the back of that truck, riding through the mountains, we would all look out, and I'd have to take picture after picture after picture, and I noticed none of them really looked very good, because it can't capture the joy that I had praising God for His creation. Psalms kept coming to mind. The heavens declare Your majesty, O Lord. The hills speak of Your name. Over and over and over, I kept thinking of the imagery in the Psalms that talk about the mountains praising God. And it was such a joyous thing. And the last drive back was the saddest thing in the world to know that tomorrow I won't wake up and get to drive through the mountains and see them praising God. There's something about worship. There's something about intimacy with our Savior. There's something about going to Him that fills us with an inexpressible and glorious joy that we have to share with others. It's a complete joy. It's a joy that no one can take away. Because it's a joy found in a person of Jesus Christ. And they can't crucify Him again. He's been crucified once, was buried, and rose from the dead. And for all eternity, death now has no mastery over Him or those who follow Him. I don't have to fear anything in life. I don't fear death. What can Satan do to me? I'm Christ's. I'm in His hand. Satan can come up with the best device to torture and maim me. And yes, the pain will be excruciating, but the joy in my soul will conquer. And the knowledge and understanding of eternity with Him will give me strength. How do I know that? Because I have the testimony of the martyrs in the Bible, and I have the testimony of the martyrs still to this day, dying for their Savior all around the world, and sharing joy, even with their torturers. This is only found in a person, and our eyes are open to it when we come to that person. After Jesus was crucified, He appeared to His disciples. And in Luke it says that He came and He showed His hands and feet to them. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, it was too good to be true that their Savior could be standing in front of them. At the end of this passage, we find that Jesus returns to heaven, and it says, they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. No one can take that away from you. The Apostle Paul with Barnabas chained to a wall in a dungeon cell in prison, praising God, singing hymns and songs of joy. And then an earthquake hits from God, all the chains of every prisoner fall off, and they get a chance to witness to the guard because nobody leaves. They were having too much fun having a church service in prison. And that joy that they were experiencing, the jailer and his whole family come to know. Folks, I pray that you know that joy. And I pray that if you don't, you wouldn't believe me, but you would believe the Scripture. You would seek out God and find out, are you missing something? Because the worst thing about missing the joy of Christ now is that you miss it for all eternity. And it's not just that you live a joyless eternity. The Bible's very clear, those who don't know the joy of Christ in this life, don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior in this life, know nothing but eternal torment in the next. It's very real. And I pray you don't miss it. Will you bow your heads with me and go before the throne of God and seek Him out?